that is somebody that you've come to contact with, or maybe you have some time or another in your life have asked somebody something to help you with. Maybe a decision that you needed to make, or maybe you've asked somebody for some advice. Think about that person that you've talked to, that you always look to for advice, that there's somebody you always went to when you were having situations or problems, and you'd always go to them. We're talking about wisdom. Wisdom's not automatic. You're not born with it. You acquire it through many years. I think about my grandpa. Grandpa had a lot of years that he spent, 106 of them, and he had lots of good advice to give. Do all people have wisdom now? He should have, but Paul found out he had to go back and revisit some of the things. He said, I thought you would have matured by now. He said, I thought I could give you some meat, but I got to go back and give you some milk. You haven't grown since I've come back. That's what Paul said. So, gray hair don't always necessarily mean you got wisdom. I certainly hope that you did acquire some wisdom through the years. In fact, the longer you live, the more you have opportunity to make some more bad choices that you live long enough to see the consequences of. And thus, making you smarter that you don't make the same mistakes as you made before. And teenagers, don't think that we're just trying to take over your life or not. We're just trying to help you avoid having to go through some of the things we went through. You don't have to. And we don't want you to if we can prevent it. But sometimes God puts us through those because it's the only way we can learn. So, parents, don't get too upset sometimes with your children if they don't take your advice. Maybe God wants them to learn on their own. And when they do, they'll be better for it. They'll do better than what you could do. They'll be better. So what is wisdom? The Bible has two distinctions about wisdom. Worldly wisdom is foolishness to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. I had the opportunity to take a book that was given to me at the ministerial meeting. The book is entitled Without Excuse. And I read quite a bit of it during this recent vacation. Impressed of how God uses the animals to, the animals are so unique. I could just spend lots of Sundays talking about and these creatures that God created. And it's amazing what the way in which they're created. I could just go on and on. The hummingbird actually shouldn't fly. Did you know that? It just shouldn't fly. But scientists and anybody else that tries to figure it out can't figure out how they can fly. Their flight's just kind of like this. And they can hover, they can take off whenever they want it. They're amazing creatures. Without excuse, we are. God's creation, you can see everywhere. His wisdom. To him, worldly wisdom is foolishness. But godly wisdom is to be able to see things from our Lord's viewpoint, so that we can make choices based on scriptural principles. And if we are able and can do that, we'll be able to survive any circumstance. In school, it was good, better, and best. I was thinking about that. There's a consumer magazine that rates products, materials, products, good, better, and best. So when it comes to wisdom, you can get some good wisdom, you can get some better wisdom, but you can get the best wisdom from Him and from the Word of God. That's the point I'm going to make. There's all kinds of tools. made available have been invented for all kinds of jobs. Kurt would know this. He probably even have some special tools made for special cars. That's because the engineers couldn't figure out how to do it, so they made a mistake. Now they've got to make a special tool to fix it. Is that right? Okay. So that's what I want to do with you today. I want to give you some tools to work with. I want to give you some things you can acquire wisdom. We all need wisdom. We all could use a little more of it. But there's all kinds of tools. And you know what tools do? They help make it easier to get the job done. Now, sometimes when you don't have a tool for it, you can actually make a tool. Nate was out here. He must be still counting. But if Nate was here, he'd just make a tool for it. I know there's been situations and things that I know in my life, there was a special handle that was made to hold a paintbrush, and now you can just attach it to an attachment and put it up. You can use a trim brush on the end of a stick. Well, years ago, we just attacked it with duct tape, you know, we made our own. And now, of course, you have the attachment to just flip this switch and put it on in your business. Okay, that's just an example of the many tools that we live today. Today, there is so much, and you could probably say that this age is an information age. I don't know of any other time in history where you can get the information at the fingertip on a push of a button on a computer, and you can have everything you need right there on the screen for you. You can repair or work on about anything today. And I'm grateful for it. And I'm thankful for it. But there's also a downside to that as well. We've tried to eliminate God in everything in every area of our life, and it's not working out too well for us. So how do we acquire godly wisdom? I'm going to give you six or seven ways that you can acquire godly wisdom, because throughout life, we're going to need it. Sometimes we have challenging questions and situations that will demand a greater wealth of knowledge and understanding than we could possibly understand. There's some things we don't understand, and so we seek knowledge and information so that we can. And that is my number one thing. It's the first one, is seeking it. You have not because you ask not. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek. And then what is it? And you shall what? Find. Okay, so the first one is seek. Seek it. Seek it. We can't live without it. Let's ask ourselves, if we really want true wisdom, are we searching for something else? But the only true place to search for is with God Himself. I want to back up to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies. All the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Wow. Nothing. Not security. Not wealth. Not all the friends in the world. You know, on Facebook, you have people just trying to get friends. They just keep going. They want to see how many friends you can get. All the health that you can be as healthy as possible. You can do all kinds of things. You can eat right and do everything else. But you know, the Bible says it's appointed on a man once to die. And after that, the judgment. And when it's your time, it don't matter if you're running on an orange crate. When your time's up, you're done. Your ticker will stop. Is that an excuse to not be healthy? No, it's not an excuse to not be healthy. Our body's a temple of the Lord, so we need to keep this body as in good a shape as we can, because God's not done with it yet. You understand? So we've got a lot of things that we can do, so we need to stay as healthy as we can. Nothing wrong with being healthy. In fact, it's quite the opposite. In this world, it just seems like we just indulge, and don't worry about health. That's not what the scripture says. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Lord. So there's a lot of ways we can go there, isn't there? Second thing, meditate on God's word. You see, the Bible is God's mind. It's been recorded on the pages for us. It's His mind. It's the way He works. It's His ways, His plans, His purposes. All the things say, now, Lord, you did it here, and you did it for the Israelites, and you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews said. So if you did it for them, you can do it for me. Amen. Amen. He can. And he will. But you need to ask him. Okay, so we need to meditate. That's the second one. Let's go on to some more. We need to obey the scriptural principles. When you see it in the scriptures, you need to obey it. Well, it's one thing to read it. It's quite another thing to do what it says. Obey it. To have a knowledge of the scripture isn't quite enough. You need to do it. Do what the Bible says. Anytime that we need divine direction, it is available to us in his word. When we believe and abide by his principles, we will reap the blessings of wisdom that comes with obedience. Remember, the scripture said obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience. Just obey him. And it's not always easy to do what's right. But obey him. And you will reap the consequences that will be good if you obey him. Fourthly, pray for it. James tells us to ask God for it. If it's something that we lack, and I didn't put a mark right here, I'd like to read that for you. There it is. James chapter 1, 5 and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not the wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. What's that wavering stuff? Well, you say, well, Lord, I know that you can give this, but I don't know if you'll give it to me. That's wavering. He loves you. Come on. Get a grip. He loves you. Why wouldn't he want to give it to you? Don't second guess him. He loves you. And what he's given others, he wants to give you too. You're not exempt. Okay? So pray. Ask for it. We must ask in the faith. And obedience will always benefit us. We can ask. But if we ignore God, many times we make the choice of going our own way. Well, what are the consequences of that? Well, some of you have lived long enough to see that. I know I've lived long enough to see some of the consequences of my wrong, stupid choices. I've lived to see them. Wish I could go back and relive those, but I can't. Can't change them. But I can help somebody else avoid the same mistake I did. Another thing, you need to observe. Observe how God works. You can see it in the Word of God. Observing people's lifestyles and the results that are produced by their lifestyles or their wrong choices. That's how we can become wise, by observing, watching, and seeing. Fools rush in where angels fear to trot. You can always find something to see and watch and observe. We'll see how that works out for you. Yes, you can make that choice. Yes, you can see what it's like to try to live a life without God. And when you draw your last breath, we'll see how that works out for you. A lifetime in hell, that's a long time. Can't come back and change it. God gives us the answer to teach us the importance of working diligently. Paul said Paul had the right welfare system. If a man don't work, neither should he what? Neither should he get food stamps. Well, I didn't know that in his head. Don't go there. Don't go there. His welfare system would work, and it wouldn't cost us our entire taxes. His system works. Are you listening to me? It works. It's proven. Number 6. 6. Heed godly counsel. Every one of us needs guidance at times in our life. But not all advice is godly. There are some trained counselors that you've got to be careful of some of the counseling they can give you because it can actually lead you astray. Because unfortunately, many of our counselors aren't godly counselors. And God's not even in your equation. So how do you expect you're going to get help if you don't involve God? You see, we're living in a godless society. Today, we don't have God in nothing. You know, it's Mother Nature, it's not God. Well, I can tell you in the Old Testament, it's full of examples of God intervening, using the weather to get his people's attention. I can preach a month of Sundays where God has used the weather, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, anything you can think of. When it comes to weather, God uses it. But you don't hear anything mentioned about it now. It's Mother Nature. You see how Mother Nature works in the tribulation period when a third of the people will die. A third of every creature on the earth will be destroyed with Mother Nature. And we'll see how that works out. We'll see. Lastly, associating with the wise. You know, wise people are good people to hang out with. Don't hang out with fools. The Bible says avoid them. Did you ever hear the advice from your parents? Be careful with the friends you run around with. How many of you had your parents say that to you? Everyone, put your hand up nice and high. My parents was concerned about my running around with people. You need to have friends. Sooner or later, you're going to need a friend on whom you can depend. But be careful. It's good to have friendships. Just be careful you don't hang around with the wrong ones, because they will affect you. They'll get you doing things that you would have never thought to do. So be careful who you become friendly with. And we should never underestimate the influence of friends. I'm glad to have friends. I love my friends. But they can either help us grow, or they could cause us to suffer harm. That's why we need to examine our friends very closely to determine whether they're helping us spiritually or if they're leading us astray. So we need to evaluate what kind of friends, perhaps even what kind of friend are you? Are you a good friend to your friend? Are you being a good friend? Are you a good example for them? Are you helping them or are you hindering them? Are you a good friend? You can sometimes give people bad advice and make them feel either better or worse. Be careful how you share information with your friends. Are you helping them or are you hindering them? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I've reached the end of my message. When I was searching for a message, I said, Lord, I want nothing more than for you to speak today. I want you to speak today. I want you to use my lips to talk to your people today, because you know exactly what they're going through. You know the choices and decisions that they have to make. Lord, I remember making this same remark some time ago. I said in a Sunday morning like this that somebody here has to make a really hard decision. I hadn't found out till months after who it was. And it was Homer Yetter. Homer said, Boss man, you know, some time ago when you asked that there was somebody in the church that needed to make a hard decision, he said, that was me. He said, I had to sign papers so they could cut my legs off. I said, Homer, thanks for sharing it with me. decision do you have to make? Is it an important decision? You need to involve God in it. Wisdom is a choice. It begins with the decision that we need to trust Christ as our Savior. And that will increase as we grow older. Sweeter is the journey. Every day serving Jesus really does pay. If we want to be wise, we must have a passion for the Lord's guidance. And we need to seek His principles. The world tells us to live today for today's pleasures. But we know our time on earth is limited. And so we need to give an account of our behavior and attitude. So we need to seek God. We need to, each and every one of us, we need to live wisely. And His blessings will be promised to those of us who heed His perfect counsel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this message today that I do believe that You laid on my heart today. Lord, I pray that this word will help each and every one here today. When it comes to making decisions, I pray that they will ask You for help. Help me with this decision. I need to know which way to go and what to do. I need You, Lord, to help me, and I pray, Lord, that You'll help each and every one here today when they've got these decisions they have to make. I pray, Lord, they'll remember these messages and these things that I share. Thank You, Lord, for being with us today and visiting with us. Thank You for Your healing power.